mistake, level one mistake that most coaches fail at, too much at the exact same time. If I tell players that they need to get powerful with the basketball, get a low wide stance, get their eyes peeking at the rim, catch with a go step footwork, ensure that they rip the ball outside of their stance, get their nose over their toes to be more explosive on the first step, get space with their first dribble to get separation from the defender, and then try to get contact to keep them on their back and sever the angle, I just tried to build the entire house and we fell down. The player fell down.
Welcome to The Hours. I am Mark Cassio, and I am joined by my co-host Tyler Costin. Together, we are Savvy Basketball, and you're listening to a podcast for basketball coaches at all levels. If you're a youth coach just starting out or a pro coach looking to win at the margins, The Hours is where we get to spend more time with you on what actually matters. So each week, we'll sit down and have real conversations about how to be a better coach, how to be a better teacher of the game, and a better leader of your program. And if you want to continue to learn in between each episode, I would encourage you to sign up for our newsletter. I've got a link in the description below. I promise we'll send you clear takeaways with practice-ready ideas and no fluff. All right, let's get into The Hours.
All right, right now we're taking coaches through a 20-day challenge to help them grow in the art of coaching. And we're going to take you through a principle that we call the plus one principle that will make you a better teacher coach, help you talk less, and help your players improve faster. Sounds like magic, Mark, but maybe it is. Maybe it is magic. And it's probably been one of the greatest shifts in my coaching and my coaching lens over the past 10 years was really embracing this plus one principle. We talk a lot about simplicity in coaching and speaking in sound bites. And this is a very actionable and applicable way to simplify your coaching and to be to get more traction with your coaching as well.
Yeah, when I think of plus one principle, and we'll dive into exactly what the plus one principle is, but it's a layered teaching approach. So one thing that I have really simplified in my coaching now is not trying to give my team everything. So if we're designing practice, there's going to be a reason why I'm playing this game or doing this drill. There might be several reasons or several things that we're going to work on within that. I don't need to give them all those things up front. I want to give them one thing. And then you might have guessed it. We can always plus one from there.
Yeah. And think of it about like building a house, right? If you attempted to build the walls and the roof of the house simultaneously, that thing would fall down because the walls aren't built and you're trying to throw the roof on. I mean, think about everything else. There's an order that you layer on, that you progress through, that you scaffold up. And that's really what plus one teaching is. It's identifying what's the most important foundational thing that's going to allow us to build the highest, tallest, most beautiful, most effective structure. And too often, there's three levels of mistake. And if you eliminate these mistakes, it'll allow you to embrace this plus one principle and allow you to be more effective. Here's the most common mistake, level one mistake that most coaches fail at. Too much at the exact same time. If I tell players that they need to get powerful with the basketball, get a low wide stance, get their eyes peeking at the rim, catch with a go step footwork, ensure that they rip the ball outside of their stance, get their nose over their toes to be more explosive on the first step, get space with their first dribble to get separation from the defender, and then try to get contact to keep them on their back and sever the angle, I just tried to build the entire house and we fell down. The player fell down.
Yeah. And I'll remember one thing that you said, and it was the last thing that you said. And that was to seek contact. Yeah.
We only remember one thing. So let's only plus one thing at a time. Now, the art of the plus one is to identify what's the most foundational out of all those things that we would like to see a player develop, our team improve on, our execution grow in. What's the most important one? And start there. And then once we've actually added that, that's what the plus is in plus one. Once we've actually added that, then it's time to move on. So that's the first most common mistake that coaches make, is just they try to build the entire house at the same time. Here's the next most common mistake. They actually put the roof on the ground. So they see the end product, which is I want my players to attack the rim more. And they try to work on attacking the rim. And that's the one thing that they focus on. But they can't actually attack the rim because they don't recognize advantage. They don't have the retrained to recognize before the catch. They don't necessarily actually catch in the proper athletic stance to be explosive, right? So there's so many things. They try to throw the roof on too soon. So that's the second level mistake. Then the third level mistake is not spending enough time on each layer or each progression. They try to actually move on too fast, and they try to get everything in one practice or one 10-minute period, as opposed to zooming out and taking a long-term approach, saying we're going to develop just this foundation today. And then tomorrow, once we show that we've actually plussed the plus one, then we'll add the next thing. So those are the three most common mistakes. And the plus one progression, you have to actually start by eliminating those mistakes.
Yeah. And if you're a coach that wants to start using the plus one principle, here's where you'd start. Actually, don't give them any teaching points. Don't even build the house past maybe the foundation before you start playing. So if we were going to play, in fact, I was in the gym last night working with a team, and Tyler and I were on the phone. I said, Tyler, how am I starting practice today? And he had a great suggestion. It's actually exactly what my team needed coming off the holidays, is let's do a series of skinnies. Skinnies are, short burst of a lot of reps, small amount of space, with few players. So we just went through several skinnies, and then we jumped into 4-on-4. And the only thing I said was, blue, it's your ball. White, you're on defense. We're playing 4-on-4. We're playing the 8x2s and 3s. So I gave them three things. Blue's ball, playing the 8x2s and 3s, 4-on-4. That's it. I just wanted them to play because I knew if I give them anything besides that, they're going to forget something, right? And number one, we should coach energy and effort before we start to teach anything technical or tactical anyway. So like, all right, we're playing hard. We're playing to standard as far as our behaviors go. Now let me plus one something. So my plus one was, okay, when we're guarding the ball, what's our job? We should lock the ball, which means funnel the ball or influence the ball to jail, no right-hand dribbles. So I plused one that. Just let them play. And that's now my attention and my focus as a coach was to locking the ball. So if there was ever an opportunity to teach or reteach or train locking the ball, I could stop, rewind, redo, 7-second burst, continue to lock the ball. Once we were locking the ball consistently, now I could add another layer to the house. And that was, okay, if you're not guarding the ball, just be halfway between your player and the ball. That was our next plus one. And instantly, it's like we were playing some pretty good defense. Girls were getting to the wall. Girls were getting in the gap. We were sniping. And we were locking the ball, but I didn't tell them all of those things at once. I was able to just layer those things in over the course of the game. And there was actually a couple plus ones that I wanted to get to that we didn't get to just because it was time to move on. And I felt like we were in a good spot, and we can always do those in the next practice.
All right, here, this might be a little too audacious for someone that's new to Savvy, but this is one way I might begin with your team. If I was to come and work with your team and to plus one your team, I would start with an activity that everyone knew how to do. So what I often do when I go work with the team, I say, okay, do you guys have a warm-up that you guys do just normally? And they say, yeah. I say, okay, coaches, you can't be involved at all. Players, begin practice. So there's no teaching, right? I might just share the objective of, I want to observe how you do what you do here. Begin practice. And without fail, within 15 seconds, there's a plus one opportunity. And the plus one opportunity for me is always an intangible. And I don't love that word, but I think it's one that we all understand. It has something to do with their communication, their spirit, their energy, their hustle, their intentionality, their precision. It has something to do with that. I said, I can't even teach you basketball until we plus one how we do what we do. And so here's the exercise I challenge you to do as a coach, because I think there's value in shocking the system. I would actually, this is another activity that I used in camps for years and years and years. It's called stand up. And it's very simple because most athletes know how to stand up. And so I said, okay, I got a challenge. I want to see how we do what we do today. I'm going to have every player just go sit on the floor. Here's the objective. When I say go or blow the whistle or do an echo call, and I say stand up, I want you to stand up without your hands touching the floor. Only the bottoms of your feet and your butt cheeks can touch the floor, and you have to stand up. Go. And some players will be able to do it. Some players will struggle with it, which I love because it's something they all know how to do. There's no technique teaching, and there's different levels of ability to stand up. And they think that they won, but there's always an opportunity to plus one to stand up. Mark, you were one of the first people to stand up. Once you stood up, Mark, what did you do? Well, coach, I didn't do anything. I won. I stood there.
I stood up and looked at you.
Exactly. Right. I'd be like, well, Mark, you know, I thought you were a better leader than that. I thought that you would maybe go and identify someone who was struggling and teach them, because that's what we do here at our program. Let's try again. Everyone, once you're successful, help someone else be successful. Everybody sit back down, stand up. So we just plus one, just in standing up. And so we started to train, and that would be a way that you right now, coach, applicably, you just go and practice your own plus one-ing. I mean, you could do it with any drill or game or warm up, but I really just love the stand up thing. I would then progress to, you have to stand up at the same time as a partner. There's a plus one opportunity there. Then I'd say you have to stand up at the same time as four other people, five people have to stand up at the same time in a group. And then there's plus one opportunities from there. The activity doesn't matter. It's practicing plus one-ing and raising the standard of your intangibles.
Yeah. All right. Oh, you just used the word intangibles again. Tell me 30 seconds. Why don't you like the word intangibles?
Because I think it is tangible. I think it's a misnomer. I think it's misnamed. It's just not it's a skill. If we define skill as any learned, anything that can be learned, then it is, and it's measurable. It is tangible. Maybe it's not a dribbling, passing, shooting skill, right? It is a, what we call an intangible. I think it should be very tangible, and it is tangible because you recognize its lack. I recognize a lack of spirit way more than I recognize a lack of ball handling ability or a lack of shooting ability. And Gino Auriemma said this many times on the record to his team, we will have spirit or we will have conditioning, because he recognizes that if they are not being spirited and energized with how they set screens, cut, that they're actually getting worse. And so why are we wasting our time practicing without spirit? Let's just get conditioned, and then we'll have a chance to win a game.
Yeah. All right. I'll give coaches two other opportunities to use a plus one principle. I really love it in a practice setting as far as like working with your team, but you can also use it for players. Like what is a plus one for every player in your program? So a good activity coming out of this podcast is write down everybody on your team in a column. And in the column next to them, what is the plus one? It could be, I'm going to say intangible here, but it could be like a soft skill, or it could be an actual.
I don't like soft skill either, because soft is like, oh, you're so soft.
You are soft. but it could be. It could,
my words.
Yeah, it could be. Okay, Tyler needs better body language when he comes into the gym, or Tyler needs to be able to attack closeouts a little better. Tyler needs to get to his protection plans more. But every single player in your program, I bet you can go down that list and like instantly think of maybe three plus ones, right? What's the highest leverage one? Like, what is the, what's one that can be changed maybe today? What's like a shorter distance one or a more immediate one? Do that. I think that's a good exercise to do every Sunday. And then it instantly gives you a systematic way to not only develop your players, but also connect with your players. Tyler, I was thinking about you this weekend, and I think you're soft. So, no, I'm just kidding.
And I think you need some intangibles.
That's right.
Because you're soft, we have some soft skills for you.
That's right. All right. The second way, or maybe this is the third way. First way is in practice, right? With your games and your layering your activities. Second way would be from a player development perspective. Third way would be from film, is when you watch film, what is your plus one? And maybe you have developed a checklist. Hopefully you have. I always loved watching film with a checklist. So, for lock left, it would be our butts, right? Like that's our checklist. Tyler, give them 30 seconds for coaches that aren't familiar with lock left. What are our butts?
Arbutz, R-B-U-T, acronym, R, right-hand drives. B, breakaways, any breakaway lands, which would include a right-hand land. U, uncontested threes. T, things they want most. The thing they want most is to run their offense. We don't want to let them run their offense. We want to make the ball go.
So if we're looking at our lock left film through the lens of Arbutz, then first I'm going to start with right-hand drives. Are we taking away right-hand drives and locking the ball in jail? Yes. Okay, check. Are we not allowing breakaways? Ooh, no. Okay, well, that might be our plus one. So why are we not allowing breakaways? What's the breakdown there? Are we not on the wall? Is our gap not stunning in hunting the pass? Whatever it is, that's your plus one. Now you can design your next practice session starting from there, and then you can always start to plus one and build your house up from the point that you're weakest, instead of just saying like, oh gosh, we gave up 80 points, we suck at defense. Okay, well, like, there's probably one thing where you could start, and it's the highest leverage thing. It's actually what we do with our members. Our premium members send us film each week. We break down their film and we give them the plus one. So if you're a coach that's looking for that, give our 7-day free trial a test run. If you like it, if you upgrade the premium, send us your film every single week. We can help you identify your plus one.
Whether you're a first-time listener or a regular listener, I want to thank you for being here, and I hope you're finding this conversation helpful. If there's something that you've heard and you want to go deeper with us, the absolute best way is to join our Savvy Basketball membership. You can get ongoing support from Tyler and I and our exclusive community, but you also get our entire classroom of courses and weekly live coaching calls. So if you have questions on offense, defense, player development, practice design, culture building, anything that you need support on, we're here to help. And the best way to get that help is through our Savvy Basketball membership. I have our 7-day free trial on. If you want to give it a shot, the link is in the description below. All right, back to the episode.
Let's apply plus one to shooting development, which you're speaking of film for our premium members. I probably do as many shooting breakdowns as I do film breakdowns on lock left or racing in transition or whatever, because every coach can recognize a broken shot. And a broken shot is just one that isn't effectively generating power and pushing the ball in a straight line to the target. That's a broken shot. If you're effectively generating power and putting the ball in a straight line to a target, your shot's not broken. You just need to continue to tune it up through daily maintenance and getting more reps. And so where the plus one is involved, where coaches ask for help, is where do you start? Where do you start with this inefficient mechanism to help it run strong? And so that's where I help them, as I identify, here is one. And what I have to continually do myself and be disciplined with myself is not telling the coach or the player the 18 things that they should do, but instead say, start here. Only do this. Here's the tune-ups that I would use. Here's what I would be asking you to feel. And then once we have plus one this thing, hand print, footprint, power generation, position 1, 2, 3, lift, load, line, wrist flexion, wrist pronation, whatever. Once we've plus one this thing, send me film again. And then we'll see what our next plus one is. Because often when you plus one something, something else breaks. And that's true in shooting, that's true in offense, that's true in team defense, that's true in individual skill development. And that's the plus one scaffolding. And that's why we don't, when our good friend and partner in TOC Coach, which is the Art of Coaching and Culture, if you haven't already joined there, check it out. He applied this plus one principle to a Gaelic football team that he was working with. And he chose not to go in with a full practice plan because he had not coached them before. He instead said, I'm going to go in, we're going to do this activity, and I'm going to observe. And then I'll identify what our plus one is, which is, I think, an opportunity and a weakness of traditional practice planning, which is, here's what we're doing and here's what we're focusing on in each of those different segments or activities. Whereas a lot of times you need to go and observe and be like, well, what's broken and what do we need to plus one?
Yeah. I want to double click on two things that you said.
I like that double click term. I haven't heard that before.
Yeah. I've been hearing a lot on podcasts that I listen to, in particular the Knowledge Project. It's good, good okay. podcast. Okay, you said what is not a broken shot, or what it right? So I like, I think most coaches would think of like, oh, a broken shot is like, well, they don't have 10 toes to the rim, or their elbow is not in, right? Mm-hmm. And it's more on form instead of just function. So I really like that articulation.
Really personal on that, if your player does have 10 toes to the rim, it's more likely their shot's broken. It's not guaranteed, but it is more likely. Just want to throw it in there.
Yeah. I've got a really good story about that. Okay. Okay. The next thing that you said is like, there's 18 things that we could address. And I know from my experience in shooting, this is probably the easiest time to address the 18 things. Like, oh, Tyler, okay. Instead of having 10 toes to the rim, let's tilt a little bit to where if we were on a clock, our feet were, you know, at like 10:30 or 11 o'clock. So Tyler gets a rep or two. Oh, wait, Tyler, let's move your hand here. And then Tyler gets a couple reps. Oh, wait, Tyler, let's make sure we're landing here. Now, all of a sudden, Tyler is trying to fix 18 different things, and we've plussed one way too fast. So I know Tyler said that's one of the faults that you can fall into with plus one. In some of this, we got to address one thing, get that player comfortable to where it's a repeatable habit, and they're comfortable with it. They have some context there before we're plus one. I find that with shooting, it's so easy to continue to find things to plus one.
When we're coaching a shooter, that's only one person. But when we're coaching a team, moving on too fast or plus one-ing too soon or too often gets magnified because of the reps per minute. And so that's why it's essential to increase your RPMs, your reps per minute, so that when you do plus one, people have multiple chances to implement that feedback before you give them another one.
Yeah. I think in the individual player's perspective, like if I'm working on somebody with shooting, you want them to develop that feeling, and that feeling is going to be developed over reps, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, this is what it feels like to have my toes pointed here. Let them get comfortable there. And then just like you said, in a team context, okay, we're getting a rep every single time, right? Like if we're playing, you know, whatever, we're defending an action or we're playing some kind of small-sided game, it's like, yes, there's a rep happening every single time, but every player on the floor has not had time in the concept, in the specific action or coverage that we're actually training. So mm-hmm. you got to let it cook a little bit, and you want to increase that time on task and make sure we're not moving on. In fact, one thing came up in one of our most recent live trainings is a coach was trying to get more shots at practice, and he was doing team shooting drills, which means we have, you know, a big group of players. I actually like some team shooting drills in there, like high energy. We can introduce some offensive or like reinforce some offensive concepts, but the main goal is actually not shooting. It's an added benefit in there. But like, if I want to get volume shots or like, I want to quote unquote, get a shooting drill in, I'm not going to do a team shooting one. But his lens was just like, hey, we're getting a lot of shots up. But as we looked at the drill, I'm like, yeah, each player got like six shots up in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's not going to address shooting as much as we would like to.
Yeah. I think this fits here. Some coaches might utilize it. A way to plus one, and I'm using shooting as the example, through feel. So I call this red light, green light, or red-green shooting. So let's say that I've identified, we talked a lot about footprint here. Let's say I've identified Mark's footprint as an opportunity for him to fix or improve his shot. I wouldn't actually tell Mark to put his feet to 10:30. I say, all right, Mark, we're going to play red, green. I need you to explore. And I'm just going to answer yes or no after each rep. You make an adjustment until you find the yes and see if you can duplicate the yes. So it's really an awareness training as well for Mark, as he's searching, as opposed to me just telling him what to do. Because most players, when you do tell them what to do, they're not able to actually do it from rep to rep because they don't have the awareness of their body or the intent. So let's say Mark's feet are 10 toes in the rim. I'm trying to get his toes to 10:30. Here's how I'd actually do it with a plus one. And my plus one, to be clear, my plus one is I'm trying to shift Mark's footprint from 12 o'clock on the clock to 10:30. That's the plus one. That's it. But here's how one might go about it and how it might feel. All right, Mark, we're going to try to adjust something that you're feeling. I'm just going to say yes or no after your shot. And let's see if you can discover the yes. I passed you and you shoot. I haven't even said anything about your feet yet. Okay. You shoot. No. Mark looks at me kind of funny. I pass again. He shoots. No. I pass to Mark again. He does something weird. No. I pass to Mark again and he freezes his finish. No. I pass to Mark again and he gets more spin on the ball. No. I pass to Mark again and he gets his hips lower. No. I pass to Mark again and he shoots faster. No. Mark's getting frustrated. I said, Mark, you want a hint? And Mark says,
yes.
Mark, I'm looking at something below your waist. I pass to Mark again. He does something. No. I pass to Mark again. He does something else. No. I pass to Mark again and he jumps higher. No. I said, Mark, you want another hint?
Yeah.
Okay. Mark, it's in your feet. It's in your feet and it's actually where your feet are pointed, right? I pass to Mark again and he shifts his feet to 1030. Yes. He looks at me funny. I pass to Mark again. He does it again. I say, yes. And I say, Mark, you know what it is? And Mark says,
yeah, I need to angle my feet.
Where? Show me.
11 o'clock or 1030.
All right, beautiful. Now let's shoot faster. I'm just going to give you yes or no's, and I'm going to see if you can get 10 yeses in a row before we move on. Pass, yes, pass, yes, pass, no. He looks down, shoot. Pass, yes, pass, yes, pass, yes, pass, yes, pass, no, shoot, right? And eventually, within 2 minutes, we get 10 yeses in a row. Guess what? It's time to plus one.
Yeah.
All right. So that's an example of like the length of time and like a check for understanding where I never once had him verbalize his understanding. He had to show me. And we went through a discovery process. And by that discovery process, though it took a little bit longer on the front end, he's actually developing awareness of his feet, which he's never had before. That's why he hasn't changed it. Even though we've said you need to tilt your feet more. So that's just an example of like a plus one-ing in a very specific way. But you could do that and apply that to ball screen coverage. All right, let's play 2-on-2. I want you to show me how we guard ball screens. No, 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 no. No, do you want to hit? Right?
Here's actually what I really like about that too is players start to problem solve.
Yeah.
It's not coach, tell me what we're doing wrong in the ball screen or tell me what we can be better in the ball screen. Now players start to take ownership of it. It's like, oh, Tyler, maybe you need to get on their hip with a collapsed forearm, you know, or no, Mark, you should be here, right? Like you should be in line with the ball when we're downing the ball screen on this side. That's what you want. You want them figuring it out because that's eventually what they're going to have to do. Yeah. And that's your check for understanding as a coach. Like, do they actually understand the purpose of your coverage and not just what you're doing? It's like, why are we in this coverage? What are we trying to accomplish?
And maybe you went in with the intent to get them to blitz the ball screen, but through their problem solving, they actually discovered something completely different that turned, and you have to observe it. It was really effective. And you're like, oh yeah, let's do that more. That's really good. Let's go ahead and switch or let's go ahead and whatever. And I mean, if coaches did that more, that's how you can plus one. That's also how you can, what we call black light a little bit. That's why you can search for what's breaking. When I went into this clinic up in Idaho with the boys team, the head coach had told me what he thought some issues were, and I had a whole list. And so I kind of had a rough plan around that list. But one of the first things I did was I just said, all right, show me, let's play. Let's match up and play. And I observed something a little different than what the coach had suggested. And I said, hey, you're okay if we work on this? And then we plus one that thing. And then his problem went away. It immediately went away. And so that's the value of the red light, green light teaching method. For you to plus one the thing is shoot, the thing you thought might have been a problem could just go away through the red light, green light, yes, no.
Yeah. I think too, when you implement the power or plus one, you start to free up some mental capacity for your players as well, where they can just feel really comfortable in what they're doing and go execute at a higher level instead of thinking about all the things that we have to do. So that's the power plus one. You can use it in your team practices, in your player development sessions. You can use it in your planning for the week with your players. You can use it in film. But the big idea here is not to do too much. Implement the power plus one. When you do so, come and share it with us, whether you drop it in the comments below. If you're a member, you know we drop the hours in our membership. Go ahead and respond to that. Let us know how the power plus one is going for you. If you're in TOC Coach, we are running that 20-day challenge. And that was Tyler's day two challenge for our community. It's going great. Really excited about the 20-day challenge. If you're not in there, jump in there and join us for the month of January.
Yep. And We love interacting with coaches, and how we do that is within our membership. So come on in, try it out for free for 7 days, and would love to give you feedback on your plus one coaching.
Stay savvy.
Stay savvy.
Thanks for making it to the end of the hours. And before I let you go, I want to make sure you can continue to learn with us in between episodes by joining our newsletter. You'll get weekly coaching insights to your inbox, which includes coaching notes from every episode. No spam, just clear, practical tools that'll make you a better coach. You can sign up at SavvyCoach.com. Stay savvy.